Good evening. Good to have you back out with us tonight. Filled up a little bit after we got started and have our stowaway who says that he was preaching somewhere else, but maybe he was just trying to get a break from mine. But no, glad to have Brother Norman back as well. And so hope everything went well in Platte City this morning. Evelyn, are you looking at the screen? Who is that? That is Daniel Tiger. And from the age of two, she knows one emotion that all of us probably know very well, and this is a scene from When You Feel Jealous, Talk About It. And there's a song that goes with it. Evelyn could probably give you a better rendition than I could. But we understand emotion, even starting at a young age, especially when we let our kids watch shows that may explain emotion and feeling and different things of that nature. Here, Daniel is jealous because that's his grand-père. I guess it's the French word for grandpa. But that's his grandpa that is reading a book to his friend Katarina. And Daniel is none too happy about it. This is already at least the second time that Katarina's kind of hosed in on his time with grand-père. And so he's not very happy about it. And we understand jealousy to be a negative thing. We understand that it is not a favorable quality in general. But then we come to a text like Exodus chapter 20, and we read something that troubles us because it attributes this attitude, this feeling towards God. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, we read, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." And so it raises the question, if jealousy is a bad thing, then how can God be jealous? How is that an okay thing for Him to feel? How is that an appropriate emotion for God to convey if it's something that we automatically assume as negative, as something that is wrong? And so it sends us down a rabbit hole chain of reaction here, of questions. And first of all, is God contradictory? Is God really who He says He is? Because we think, well, isn't God perfect? Well, Jesus challenges us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, and I understand perfect can also mean complete, but Jesus says, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And so we understand that to be true about God, and we think, well, how can God be jealous? Isn't God love? And that's true. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, we read, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." How can He be jealous? Isn't jealousy sinful, we ask? Well, depending on where you look, you can find that to be the case. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Well, is God going to be there? Because He's just said Himself that He is a jealous God. So how do we rectify all of this? James then says in James 3, verse 16, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." God practicing some vile things that we don't know about? So sending us on down the list here, and then we think, well, if jealousy is sinful, then doesn't God hate sin? And so in Psalm 11, verse 5, we see that to be true. "The Lord tests the righteous, but His soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence." Romans 6, 23, we understand that there's penalty for sin. "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So then it leads us to the question of a verse that you've probably heard before in 1 Corinthians 14, the first part of verse 33. Woo! Voice cracked there a bit. I'm getting ahead of myself. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. I don't know about you, but if I look at this list and I look at all these verses, are we feeling a little bit confused here? Is God trying to confuse us and make us feel mixed up? Well, this was a question posed to me a couple of weeks ago by somebody who read the passage that we read just at the beginning in Exodus and said, how does that make sense? How can God be jealous? And I appreciate that person's question. They wanted to remain anonymous. I respect that. But it is really, if you Google that question about God's jealousy, it's one that's asked all the time. And it's a question that we need to ask. It's a question that we need to understand the answer to better appreciate God's character and who He is and really understand what is He talking about. Because if we just look at this list and we just look at these verses, we can come to a state of saying, how can all of this be true about God? Well, let me ask you this. Are you a complex person? The answer is yes. We have more than one emotion, don't we? We are loving people, but it doesn't mean that we're feeling very loving all of the time. And we have jealousy over certain things. And up to this point, maybe we think that every time we feel jealous, that that is a sinful thing. But we have different emotions that occupy our psyche from time to time. And so what I think was the better thing to do is to really understand what the word jealous means. Because automatically we have a negative connotation of the word jealousy. It sends us down that trail as we just went down, thinking in the negative about that word jealousy. We all automatically attribute bad things to jealousy. I shouldn't be a jealous person. And we know that to be true from the passages that we looked at, but looking deeper about how God, it can be said that of God and not be sinful, because we know the end-all answer, no, God is not sinful. God is not has no association with sin. Therefore, His jealousy must be right in some way. And so, what we need to remember about jealousy and about any kind of word, like we talked about for a moment this morning about love, we cannot be too loose or oversimplify the meaning of a word. We need to make sure that we're using it in its proper context, or understand that there are multiple definitions to a word or multiple levels of a word to which it fits the context of what's going on in any given situation. And so we need to be careful that we're not just giving an end-all, be-all definition to this word jealousy and that be the only definition that we read of. If you look in a dictionary yourself on different words, you'll see there are multiple meanings to a word or varying degrees to the definition of the word that may be more or less severe itself. But when we look to the Bible and we look at where we get this word jealousy from, where the English translators brought the word jealousy into the Bible from the Hebrew or the Greek word that we find there, it comes from the word kana, and there are different variations of that word in the Hebrew in the Old Testament. And here's the interesting thing. There are multiple English words attributed to that word in the Old Testament. There's jealous or jealousy, there is zealous or zeal, or there is envy or envious or any form of those words that are attached to that Hebrew word. And so they're all translated from this word. We think about Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 16, where we see that word of jealousy or how it's used there. They stirred him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations. They provoked him to anger. And so we see the word anger there, and we may automatically attribute, okay, this is a bad jealousy that God has here. But understand, we need to look at the greater context of that passage in any time that we see this word to get a better understanding of what is really going on in the situation. I mean, remember the fact, with strange gods. Gods other than God. And God already said there in Exodus chapter 20 that they are to have no other gods before Him. That's a reason for God to be mad. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But the etymology of this word refers to becoming inflamed or red. I was just thinking on the way over here, you know, whenever you get a rash or some kind of discoloration of your skin, you yourself, in a sense, are jealous that that part of your skin is not the same as everything else. That it, and your skin itself, in a way, is saying, hey, that something is wrong here. It's become inflamed. It has become red. Something has been drawn out of it to make it different from the rest of the skin. And so I don't know if that makes sense to you, but there is something that has been causing that irritation, that frustration for that to occur. And so in any way that we look at this word, whether it's jealousy, zeal, or envy, there is a stir of emotion in any situation that when we read this word, if we bring out a lexicon or whatever we want to accompany our study, understand that there is a stir of emotion when this word is used, that the emotion of that text is being brought out to say something is going on here, that someone is upset, someone's attitude is changing for this moment. But to understand also in the Greek, the zelos or zelou, which you can obviously see kind of the form of the word zeal or something close to that effect within that word, but also jealousy is taken from that word. And so understanding that zeal and jealousy are closely related here. Now with zeal, we can understand that to be a positive attribute, that we are to be zealous, that God is zealous. And so perhaps that is something that we need to understand as well. Paul would say as much in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, about his jealousy. And we'll look at that passage in greater detail in just a moment. And so let's kind of do a comparison and contrast here to look at some scenes in the Bible where we see unrighteous jealousy compared to righteous jealousy. Because I think what we can conclude is that there is a right way to be jealous, or there is a situation where our jealousy or God's jealousy is warranted, and we need to understand that. And with the story of Rachel and Leah, sibling rivalry, right? There is jealousy there. And we understand from that story in Genesis chapter 29, and beginning in verse 30, that there is a situation afoot here with Jacob, who originally wanted Rachel, worked the 7 years for her, and then was tricked by Laban with Leah, and then Laban hooks him in for another 7 years of labor, gets Rachel after a couple of weeks, if memory serves me right, but still has to work a total of 14 years for the right to both of his daughters. And as sibling rivalry goes, one is getting the favor of Jacob over the other. Rachel's the one that Jacob really wanted. Leah knows that. And in verse 30 we read there, "So Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and served Laban for another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." And then the trade-off here of handmaidens and everything else, and all of these children born to these women, that there is a jealousy that is stirred among them, that they are just in constant competition. That is unrighteous jealousy. That their focus was on themselves and not on their husband, not on being content with what they have, that they were over and over again being caught up in a wrong attitude. But a righteous jealousy, we see that of God there in Exodus chapter 20 and verses 3 through 5. What was it that God was saying that He was jealous over? And maybe we could attribute this to God and being a constant state of affairs in His attitude towards us and how we treat Him or how we look at Him compared to other things or to other gods. He says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." There's the context. God saying, if you're putting me first, everything's good. But if you dare put anything before me, any other God before me, my jealousy will be drawn out. And we've just got to look at this a little bit more to see ourselves in God's situation in certain realms as well. With Joseph's brothers, that was jealousy, right? Genesis chapter 37, we look in verses 5 through 7. Joseph, that crazy dreamer, how could he say these things and put himself on a pedestal above his brothers? How could he have his father's love more than his brothers? And so over and over again, we see that Joseph is drawing the ire of his brothers here. In verses 5 through 7, we read that he has a dream. Then in verse 8, his brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. And then down to 18 and verse 20, they saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams." That is evil jealousy and clear definition of showing that that Joseph has something that they want, that he has their father's favor, that he has this ability to interpret dreams, and whether they agree with them or not, they don't like him, and so they are jealous of his standing, or at least his own self-worth compared to theirs. But then, by comparison, we look at Jesus cleansing the temple in John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Here we see this scene of Jesus, and he is irate, to say the least. In verse 13, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away, do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Look at that word there used. Zeal for your house. Jesus was zealous because his Father's house was being used in a sinful way. And so he knew that not to be right. And understanding this is still in the age of the old law that Jesus was living by the old law, and so this temple was certainly being used unrighteously. And I know we kind of have a general principle, at least I grew up understanding, I think with this story in mind, that really bringing school-associated things and trying to raise money for your kids and stuff like that in a place of worship really is kind of on the edgier side of things, that we're not here for that reason. And so understanding that's kind of where we get that kind of mentality from. But Jesus is clearly upset because of what his Father's house is being used for. What about King Saul? There was somebody who was jealous, right? As soon as all the plaudits are coming in for David, we read there in 1 Samuel chapter 18. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 through 9, as they were coming home when David returned from striking down the Philistine, the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with songs of joy, and with musical instruments. And the women sang to one another as they celebrated, "Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s." You can just stop right there and imagine how upset Saul was starting to get. And Saul was very angry, we read in verse 8, and this saying displeased him. He said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed thousands, and what more can he have but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day on. Then we read in verse 28, "But when Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, Saul was even more afraid of David. So Saul was David's enemy continually." Saul saw something that David had that he apparently wanted, and the fact that David had the Lord's favor and had the attention of man and was receiving praise from man. David was willing to do the one thing that nobody else was willing to do in going up against Goliath in the first place. And so Saul was having a hard time dealing with the ramifications of that. as well, but to understand that that is an unrighteous jealousy, to then plan, as we see from there, looking for an opportune time to try to take David's life, that is certainly sinful jealousy. And then what about Paul to the Corinthians? There in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we see Paul speaking here and almost coming across as though he understands that what he's about to say is not typical for someone to say to someone else. As he says there in verse 1, "I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me, for I feel a divine jealousy for you." So likening his feeling towards a feeling that God has, but why does he feel that way? "Since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. Indeed, I consider that I am not in the least inferior to these super apostles. Even if I am unskilled in speaking, I am not so in knowledge. Indeed, in every way, we have made this plain to you in all things." And so Paul is saying, I'm jealous for what you are starting to leave. I am jealous that you are not adhering to the gospel that we have preached to you. That is a divine jealousy. That is a righteous jealousy that Paul is even having here, as he would attribute himself in some situations as being like a father-type figure to those that he would teach, especially those who were younger than him. He certainly had that kind of attitude towards Timothy and Titus, but to understand that Paul had the right to feel this way because he knew that they were going against God's will. And so what we need to understand with jealousy is that what matters is the subject or the object of one's jealousy. What is it that we are jealous about? Because that's what makes the difference. Sinful jealousy is always in reference to something that isn't ours. In all of those situations that we looked at just a moment ago, Rachel and Leah, Joseph's brothers, King Saul, they all wanted what they could not have, and they acted inappropriate in response. They weren't keeping themselves in check. They weren't changing their attitudes for the better. And so when we get jealous in a sinful way, it is because we are wanting something that we cannot have or should not have. And so certainly envy is certainly in that relation. Thus why we get the word envy translated from the same word rendered as jealousy in the Bible, that they are closely in relation. But to understand clearly that God Himself is not envious. God is not wanting something that He cannot have or should not have, because everything belongs to God and God has a right to everything. I like Vine's definition or explanation of this, the Hebrew form of jealousy here. They say, "God is not tainted with the negative connotation of the verb. His holiness does not tolerate competitors or those who sin against Him." Think back to Exodus chapter 20. God was addressing the competition. God was addressing anything that could be put before Him as a God. And God's saying, "I'm not having any part of that. And if you have part in that, you better believe I'm going to be angry." And so what Vine is saying here, His holiness does not tolerate competitors or those who sin against Him. Even in those texts where the adjective jealous is used, it might be more appropriate to understand it as zealous. And so for your own mind, if you come across the word jealous in your Bible in association with God, it's not going to hurt to look at it from a standpoint of zealous, that there is a strong desire that God has, and it is a righteous desire, and so we cannot attribute it to being a sinful attitude that God is conveying here. To understand God's righteous jealousy or zeal is from something that is or should be God's. God is jealous for what He deserves. He deserves your and I's attention. He deserves our worship. He deserves our praise. He deserves our focus, our care, our love, our desire. He desires those things. And when He sees that He's not receiving them, He is jealous because He made us to desire worship and to desire to give alms and attention and praise to something. And when that something or that someone is not Him, it draws His jealousy. And so He has every right. Turn with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Here Joshua is coming to the close of this book. And it's right before we read of his death and burial. In verse 14, he's kind of laying it all out there before the Israelites. Remember, this is the next generation who has been able to inherit the land that their forefathers were not. He says there in verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. If it is evil in your sight, eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God." Joshua is going to challenge him though. Verse 19. "But Joshua said to the people, 'You are not able to serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good.' And the people said to Joshua, 'No, but we will serve the Lord.' Then Joshua said to the people, 'You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve Him.' And they said, 'We are witnesses.' He said, 'Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel.' And the people said to Joshua, 'The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey.'" Joshua is putting it all on the carpet for them, saying, "No, you've got to understand who this God is you're dealing with. What does he say about God here?" He says, "You are not able to serve the Lord, for He is a holy God." In turn, what is Joshua calling them? "You're not holy. God is a jealous God. You're not putting Him first." And so what he's making clear is, you better clear out the closet. You better get out anything that you've put before God before. Get rid of it, because God knows where your allegiance lies. God knows whether you are going to faithfully serve Him or not. And so you better make sure that you are truly making that choice to serve Him today. And so to understand that when that doesn't happen, that when we choose to put anything else before God, His anger is justified. His wrath is justified. God's jealousy is always justified. And so then when we think about it for us, can we be jealous in a righteous way? Well, we read of Jesus and we read of Paul, and I think we can come to a determination that there are moments where we can have a righteous jealousy. Think of your spouse. Think of your children. You see your spouse making eyes at somebody else, or you catch them in the act, or whatever the case is, you have every right to be jealous, because they have no right to be with that person, and the person, whoever your spouse may be with, has no right to them either. That is cause for jealousy. That is cause for a righteous jealousy, because they don't deserve to be with each other. That person has made a commitment to you, and so therefore you have the right to be jealous over that relationship. That if there is suspicion, and there in the Old Testament there was case for that, that if a man was suspicious of his wife being unfaithful, that thing matters could be taken to where that could be addressed. But that is a time where we can be jealous. What about for our children? if we see our children maybe caring about what somebody else thinks more than their parents, about looking to please someone else other than their parents, or whatever the case is, that we have a right to have jealousy for our children and wanting what is best for them as well and wanting to be appreciated by them. But certainly the illustration is clear with marriage, first and foremost, because we are likened unto God as a marriage and being married to Christ. And so understanding that we have the right for that kind of jealousy as well. Could we have jealousy towards the church as to something that we see is going wrong within the church, maybe a practice that is brought in that we see nowhere in Scripture that we have the right to practice a certain aspect of worship or giving our money to a certain cause that we have no right to be giving the Lord's money to? We have the right to have jealousy towards that, of saying that is not right, that is not the way that we need to be using the Lord's funds, or this is not an approved way to worship God. There is jealousy in that, in wanting to have a jealousy for God, that Jesus had that jealousy for things to be done the right way in the presence of God. And so think about all of this and ask, why does God's jealousy matter? I think what we can conclude here is to, when we read about God's jealousy, is that it says something about the relationship that He has reserved for His people. For it to be described as jealousy, to be described as something that draws His ire, that He wants this so bad that it makes Him jealous, that He wants this relationship with you and I, that He has done all of this for you and I, to the point that when He sees that we're not appreciating what He has done, He has every right to be jealous. He has the right to be jealous for every soul that has not come to Him yet, because He wants all to come to repentance because of love. There is love and jealousy when it is righteous. The reason God is jealous is because of His love for you and I. And when He sees that that love is not reciprocated, that it is not given back in return, there is jealousy to be had in that. Because we're not giving God what He deserves and what He made us to give Him. That God clearly wants you and I. That God clearly wants the best for us, but that He wants what He made us for. And so we need to ask the question, how seriously and how committed are we to that relationship? To understand that God desires this from you so much, your love, your affection, your attention. Not that He needs it or that He is going to wilt away without it, but that He craves it, that this is what He is, it is a desire that He has and that He has built within us, that we need to ask ourselves, how serious and how committed are we to that relationship? That we want to make sure that God's jealousy is not burning against us for not giving God what He deserves. The question is, do we want God in return? Do we want to give God what is His due? Do we want to give Him what He deserves? And so are we giving God reason to be jealous? If you're not a Christian, God's got every reason to be jealous. Because He has given everything that He could possibly give in order for this love to be reciprocated, in order for us to enter into a relationship with Him. And when that continues to go unrealized, I can only imagine that jealousy within Him burning all the more. What about for us, you and I, Christian? Have we been as committed to this relationship with God that we could be? Or have we given God reason to be jealous because we haven't been giving Him everything that He deserves? Have we been giving Him leftovers? As Brother Harold talked about briefly this morning at the table, that God wanted a male unblemished for a sacrifice, that He desired that. He deserves the best. And He gave the best in offering a sacrifice for us. And so in turn, what are we giving back to Him? Are we giving unblemished worship? Are we giving the best of what we have? Or are we giving God every reason to be jealous with us as well? We've got to answer that question. We've got to answer it honestly every day that we live this life, and making sure that we are holding up our end of the relationship with God. And if there's any way we can help you tonight, why won't you come while together we stand and sing?